or MDS Forte.
Each and every show, as all of you know, here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between. One of my favorite spots, we go inside the Beltway. One of my favorite guys, the Baz, Ken Bassinet from Talk Radio News. He's with us this go around, and there's always something to talk about when it comes to what's happening in Washington, D.C. Hey, Baz, how are you?
You know, recovered from the weekend.
Yes, we will tell everyone. I behind the mic would be, I won't give away too many secrets, but we happen to be attending the same party for Ellen Ratner, who some of you, many of you have heard on the air, too, as well, here on America Tonight. She had a big birthday celebration, her 30th birthday, and a few hundred of her friends came out to the Central Park Zoo. 400 of them, to be exact.
Yeah. And anybody can rent the zoo at Central Park, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a song, I'm sure, to do that, close it down,
right.
Have the penguins do a show, and then have the sea lions do a show for you. Are you kidding?
Open bars.
Yeah. Crazy.
6 food tables.
Yeah.
You know,
nutty.
It was really something, what I remember of it.
There you go. Hey, speaking of remembering, that's what they're doing constantly. They're keeping score on the Hill, but you know this because you've covered Washington for 17 years. The latest shot was the Senate Majority Leader, of course, Harry Reid, warning that there's a chance that what? The government could shut down by the end of the month. And this is all about the Republicans and the Democrats going back and forth on the disaster relief provisions in the budget bill.
It's amazing that we could come through Hurricane Irene, all that damage. We saw what happened in Pennsylvania, Vermont. Even Eric Cantor, his state of Virginia took a big hit. I mean, it's just breathtaking. And, of course, that's where this all began, Kate. When Eric Cantor suggested, right as Americans were suffering with all that flooding up and down the East Coast, the GOP majority leader in the House of Representatives, Eric Cantor, Richmond, Virginia, if you want to find him, folks, and send him an email or whatever, that's where he is, suggests, well, we should maybe negotiate whether we're going to help these people out. And now here we are. And, you hit the nail right on the head. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, stunned, and he said today, and I'm quoting here, the Tea Party-driven House of Representatives has been so unreasonable in the past that, you know, I don't know why we should expect them to suddenly be reasonable. And he wholeheartedly believes they are going to shut this thing down. It's breathtaking.
Wow, no kidding.
Now Reid announced today that the Senate will attach a $6.9 billion emergency stopgap measure for FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. That is not money that's going to go to, pick one of the albatrosses that the GOP goes after, Planned Parenthood, for instance, right? We're talking about states that have been hammered by floods, hurricanes. We had the tornadoes earlier this year. All of this stuff adds up. But when have we ever questioned, you know, whether or not we're going to take care of our fellow Americans? It's really breathtaking. And I potentially, as you can see, I kind of have an opinion on this one.
Sure.
I'm not playing this one down the middle. But, Kate, you have to wonder, will there not be a backlash towards the Republicans for this?
Well, certainly for the people in those states that are struggling, because the first thing you do is you file for FEMA relief. You do that immediately, and all of those governors did right away in front of Irene. And, of course, we're talking about disaster after disaster after disaster, and there's no way they need the federal funding. They need the money, period.
Yeah. What's really interesting is, you know, Cantor tried to fire back at Reid. You know, he said that, you know, it'll be on his shoulders because he's the one who's playing politics with it.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the audacity of Eric Cantor. He then further says, and I'm quoting here, no one wants to stand in the way of disaster money. Hey, that's not what you said 2 weeks ago, buddy. You know, it's really, you know, it's as if they think that we have no institutional memory, or more importantly, that we don't have it on tape. You know? I mean, it's really something.
Yeah, everything's on tape now. Are you kidding? On Twitter, on Facebook, there's no way you can you can recant, pardon the pun, what you say without being caught, because it's easy, easy, easy to dig that stuff up. Hey, what about the poll that came out on Obama and jobs? That's kind of flipped things around.
It's really something. The president's having a good week. He's armed and ready to take on the Tea Party-led GOP now that he's seeing some support for financing his jobs plan with spending cuts and restoring the tax rates to 1990s levels for the richest Americans. And we're talking about significant numbers here, you know, like 61%, 72%, depending on how you ask the question. Majority of Americans favor, you know, Obama paying for his latest jobs plan by taxing the wealthy and wiping out tax breaks for some corporations. That is a big turnaround, but people are having enough of it. And I think that's why you're hearing so much of this stuff about, you know, oh, this is, this is class warfare. And Speaker Boehner saying, you know, this is like giving cocaine to a cocaine addict, talking about money for Congress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's heavy rhetoric. But, you know, what Obama's allies are saying is, you know, the reason why we're hearing such loaded blowback from the people on the right is because Obama's landing punches now. There's a sting that's going along with this, you know. And, you know, I think probably, you know, this isn't a poll. This is anecdotal, but it's significant. And that is now the fractured ranks of the Democratic left is liking what they're hearing from Obama regarding his newly announced $3.2 trillion deficit reduction plan.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that includes taxing the richest Americans at the same rate as middle class taxpayers. And, you know, you have Michael Moore out there saying, hey, we're back. I spoke to some folks today in the gay community who are real activists. I mean, real agitators and ringleaders, people who voted for the president in 2008 and really felt that he dragged his feet on the on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
Well, the combination of what they're hearing from him yesterday in the Rose Garden in terms of attacking the Republicans and saying enough is enough, combined with the fact that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was finally wiped off the books overnight,
mm-hmm.
They're basically saying we're very happy now. And that's a big deal. Those aren't just votes. That's a community that digs deep into their wallet for the president.
Yeah, and that's the liberal side that was starting to really wane, right?
Oh, how many times did we talk about that, you know, during our previous conversation?
Yeah.
The fact that the president had a problem with his base.
Yeah.
And if he shores up his base early on, that allows him to spend more time down the stretch focusing on the middle, the independent voters, the moderate independents, who in an awful lot of states will decide the outcome of the election.
Yeah, I agree. The independents is where it's at, I think. That's where the battle is. Yeah. But traditionally, independents normally go the side of the Democrats.
Do they?
I think so. I think the majority. I mean,
yeah.
I like how you say that. Do they? You sound like a Democratic strategist panicking.
I'll tell you why, because they did the swing the other way in 2010.
Yes, that's true.
In those Tea Party people.
That's true. True, the midterm elections.
A lot of them right now are saying, yeah, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And listen, I don't mean to get down on the Republicans. They have plenty of time to pull things off here. Look at Rick Perry.
Yeah.
When you and I were first talking about Rick Perry the first week, we were like, this guy's nuts.
I know.
Now
look.
He's sounding pretty sensible.
Yeah, he is. He is, and he's certainly getting a lot of attention. We're out of time. Ken Bassinet, thanks so much. The Baz Talk Radio News. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
In this version of For Your Health, you're going to be shocked by some of the statistics I'm going to throw out at you right from the get-go. Did you know about 22.6 million Americans aged 12 and older use illicit drugs? They did in 2010. Do you know if we take that number further, that would be nearly 8.9% of the U.S. population. Wow. Medical use is on the rise. We've been talking about that certainly on this show. What does it all mean? And we're talking about young adults, 18 to 25. Illicit drugs up from 19.6% in 2008 to 21.5% in 2010. And that doesn't even include, remember all the whole farm party stuff and whatnot that we've talked about. But focusing on the medical abuse in America, as pointed out in a huge government study the other week, a couple of weeks ago. We are so pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Harris Straitner, and what a title he has. He is the regional clinical VP of all the Karen treatment centers, and he's based in New York. Doc, I know you're a busy guy. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
So marijuana use, you're a doctor, so I'm just going to ask you this, and obviously you're dealing with this with the treatment centers. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think there are a lot of factors. Youngsters, certainly, as the recent Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration SAMHSA survey showed, are using it a tremendous amount. I mean, we're talking about kids who are 12 years or older, and we're just seeing it go up an astronomical rate. And what I attribute it to is the fact that youngsters think this is a safe drug, and it's not. It's a very dangerous drug. The chemical, the psychoactive chemical in marijuana, tetrahydrocannabinol, is very dangerous to the brain. It affects brains. As far as we can tell from PET scans and other techniques of looking at the brain develops usually through the age of 25. And youngsters are affecting their executive functioning with marijuana use. you know, decision-making ability, which is associated with the frontal lobe of their brain. Marijuana also has over 400 chemicals in it, and is also a carcinogen. Some studies show it's a stronger carcinogen than the cigarettes. And I think a lot of youngsters whose parents are baby boomers, and we're not blaming parents, but, you know, need to realize that the marijuana that their parents smoked, even though that probably wasn't a good idea, was very different than the marijuana that they're smoking today. Again, the concentration of tetrahydrocannabinol is far greater in today's marijuana, and it has also been shown to be a gateway drug to other drug use. And the scary thing, Kate, that frightens me the most as an addictionologist is that a lot of kids blaze or smoke marijuana before they ingest alcohol. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen kids who have had alcohol poisoning as a result, because marijuana is an anti-emetic. It prevents you, you know, it not prevents, but it certainly leans in the direction of helping to prevent you from vomiting. So if you smoke marijuana first and then you drink and you get alcohol poisoning and you're not prone to vomiting because you were smoking marijuana, you're in a lot of trouble. And we see this all the time at Karen treatment centers. I send more youngsters to Karen for marijuana use than any other drug, period. Any other drug, and that's frightening. And I think it's because parents, you know, they say, oh, it's just marijuana.
Sure.
Oh, just experimenting. And what we have to start to press, and I'm a pretty liberal guy, but what we have to start to press is zero tolerance. When your kids are messing around with their brain, when you've got a drug that can be utilized that can increase your chances of having schizophrenia if you're genetically predisposed to that illness, then you've got to tell your kids, I don't want you messing around with that. I don't want you using marijuana. It's a hallucinogen. It can cause paranoia. It can cause delusions. It can cause hallucinations. And it can really feed into a lot of youngsters that we see at Karen treatment centers who have co-occurring disorders, things like bipolar disorder, anxiety disorders, you know, generalized anxiety disorder. We see so many kids at Karen treatment center who have what are referred to as co-occurring disorders, schizoaffective disorder, personality disorders, and the marijuana just, it's like pouring gasoline on a fire.
Oh, how sad is that? And I like the fact that you told us that, you know, hey, you're a liberal guy, but, you know, you got to take a look at this and say zero tolerance. Because I know there's people listening that are saying, oh, Kate, what are we talking about this for? It's just a little weed. But it's not just a little weed anymore. As you explained, it's not, you know, it's not your father's marijuana. It's a whole different situation with what you're seeing. Do you think that the fact that we have the legal use of marijuana, medical marijuana, is that also leading some of these kids to say, well, really, we have medical marijuana. It's all over the headlines. It's been voted on in various states. And so how bad can it be?
I mean, I certainly think that it is all over the headlines. I tend to concentrate more on marijuana, you know, as a representative of Karen Treatment Center as a clinician, as just being a dangerous, illicit drug. So I don't focus too much on medical marijuana.
Wow.
It's a tricky area.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I'm a father, and I'm telling you, I'm a very liberal guy. I'm known for something called Care Frontation, where I treat people with dignity and respect. I don't shame or blame them, but I hold youngsters who I send to Karen or who I treat in my practice responsible for dealing with issues. And I got to tell you, my 22-year-old daughter never has smoked marijuana. And if she did, we'd have serious problems because as a scientist, I know it causes damage to the developing brain. I mean, think about that. I'm in the field.
Yeah.
And I'm not in recovery, by the way. Okay, you know, I'm not a recovering alcoholic, but I'm in the field. And I'm telling you as a scientist, I'm telling you as an associate professor at a major medical school, I would be very frightened if my daughter smoked marijuana. I really don't like it. The fact that they're starting to have applications on iPhone teaching kids how to roll marijuana is frightening to me. I think that, you know, there are certain companies that better take a real good look at that, because that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. I just think that the thing we have to impress upon our youngsters is that why not experience life straight up and the beauty of life? And this may sound corny, but I believe it in my soul. Straight ahead, look at the spirituality of life, look at the beauty of life before you have to go out and get high. You know, there's nothing wrong with going surfing, with getting involved in different sports, with being involved in the arts. You know, my godfather was Dizzy Gillespie, the jazz trumpet player. And I grew up around the jazz world.
Wow.
I'm a jazz musician, and I have a radio show for 23, almost 24 years, which the second half is always jazz. And we always associated, you know, jazz musicians with doing this and doing that. I got to tell you, if I ever touched marijuana, my godfather, God rest his soul, would have broken my head. And that was back then, and I'm in my 50s. It's just not a good way to go. And it also speaks to the fact that youngsters are getting bored, and they're trying to come up with ways to escape. And the sad thing to me, when I send a kid to care and treatment centers, or again in my practice, when I see kids who come in who are really hurting, who are having anxiety disorders and self-medicating with marijuana, and then they get paranoia on top of anxiety. The thing that really, really frightens me is that they don't take the time to discover that this is a great world we live in. And when you were asking me before, what do I think has contributed to the rise that we saw in the SAMHSA study of marijuana use, I think one of the things is what's going on in the world. I think that a lot of kids try to escape. They try to escape financial situations with their parents. They worry about their grades, the increase in a lot of things that go on in the school, the level of work, competition in athletics, et cetera. And instead, what youngsters need to do, if they really want to lay back and chill, is realize all they have to do is try their best. All they have to do is try to enjoy and realize the joys of this wonderful thing we call life, every day, one day at a time. We just celebrated the 10th anniversary of September 11th.
Mm.
Celebrated is an ironic word.
I know.
But, you know, Thoreau once said, the past is ashes. Yesterday's over. What we have to inculcate in youngsters is that they need to focus on the moment and to enjoy the moment. And to smoke marijuana is completely blowing the moment. And also blowing their future.
Such an excellent conversation. Life straight up. Dr. Harris Stringer.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Calling all shooters, OpsGear.com is your source for targets and head-to-toe tactical gear. This week only, radio listeners save 25% on our exclusive shooting targets. We've got training targets, 3D targets, Zombie Osama, and our exclusive real threat targets. Check them out at OpsGear.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout. That's GCN and save 25% on all OpsGear targets. Plus, we give away great gear each week. Visit us at OpsGear.com. That's OPSGEAR.com or call 888-239-1384.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
For the past 76 years, some of the biggest talk during college football season is not only who's the best team at the collegiate level, but the best player. This is the Sports Princess. That story next on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Tombstone Pizza. With multiple varieties to choose from, there's a Tombstone Pizza that's sure to please your family. What do you want on your tombstone? Family dinner is important, but who says it has to be at the table? When life gets busy and the pressure is on, pull out the good paper plates and settle in for pizza and a movie. It's fun, easy, and memorable for the whole family. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
It started in 1935 when New York City's Downtown Athletic Club started handing out the hardware for the best player. The trophy is named to honor one of the club's athletic directors, John Heisman, after his death in 1936. Heisman played football at Brown and Penn, also coached at a lot of colleges, including Auburn and Clemson, and he was the athletic director at Georgia Tech. The Heisman is handed out in early December before the postseason. Sports journalists vote on who is the best. Ohio State's Archie Griffin is the only player to win the award twice. He did it in the mid-70s. So far this season, Stanford's quarterback Andrew Luck and Oklahoma wideout Ryan Broyles are both on the short list. But there's still a lot of college football to be played between now and December. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts.
Yeah.
our next conversation with Stephen Shohat. He joins us each and every Tuesday here on ATN. And I started to think about this. How many episodes of Star Trek have you watched in your life? And, you know, I'm not a Trekkie, but when I was a kid, my brother liked to watch Star Trek, and so I kind of got sucked into it. And then, of all things, my mother didn't watch the television series, but she watched the movie. She loved the Star Trek movies. So I've definitely seen all of the movies, and some of them are, I thought, were so well done. And, you know, it was tough when you realize, oh, I don't think there's any more Star Trek flicks left, because I enjoyed them too, waiting for them, just like the Bond flicks. Bond and Star Trek, for me, that was the 1-2 punch. So, is it Captain Kirk? Is it Dr. McCoy? Who is your favorite? Is it Spock? A lot of people like Spock. And still today, the power of Star Trek lives on. Because you can tell with the conventions, I mean, the people who are way over the top with it just absolutely love it. It is actually pretty cool to go to a Trekkie convention. And then, of course, for Halloween, people still dress up as Star Trek characters. So 45 years. Think about that. Think about how many episodes you might have seen. 45th year of it. Wow. Stephen, in now from the green room. Stephen, were you a big Star Trek fan?
Absolutely. I you know, I'm still a big fan of the original series, not so much the subsequent series. But I'll tell you, Kate, I loved the movie in 2009. I know a lot of fans complained, oh, they broke canon and they changed things. But, I mean, I thought it was a great fresh start. I thought it was exciting. And you know, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. I loved the one in 2009. In fact, I just rewatched it the other day. I liked it. I liked going, you know, what do they call it, the prequel.
Yeah, a prequel and also leaving it open so you could have new adventures with the old characters and that element of suspense that they brought back. And I know people don't like time travel stories a lot of the time, but you think about it, like when you have Batman or James Bond, they just start all over. No explanation. They're going to do that with Spider-Man. At least with Star Trek, they tried to have an explanation. I mean, with the time travel and how you could have this alternate situation. And I personally think, and it's just an opinion, that that's more respectful than saying, okay, everything we did before, we've thrown it out with no explanation, which they do all the time with other franchises.
Yeah. How did this show start? How did Star Trek come to even be?
You know, it's so fascinating. Gene Roddenberry, former policeman in Los Angeles, had gotten into screenwriting by sort of intimidating an agent at a restaurant called the Cock and Bull. The agent's name was Swifty Lazar, and Gene Roddenberry was this big motorcycle cop, and he said he came into the restaurant and yelled out, "Swifty Lazar, is he here?" And you know, whatever, for whatever reason, Swifty Lazar was scared that this police officer was stalking him, and he said, "I'm here, officer. What do you want? You're Swifty Lazar. Read this." And he shoved the script in Lazar's hand, and Lazar was so impressed, he took Roddenberry on as a client. And then Roddenberry wrote several scripts, but the first show that he wrote that he produced was called The Lieutenant. And on that show, you see Nichelle Nichols and Leonard Nimoy. Nichelle Nichols was a really good actress, by the way, on that show. And it was about a Marine lieutenant. And sometimes they would do these stories on the show that the Pentagon was not happy about, shows dealing with racism or other issues. And so NBC, even though the show was obviously high quality, NBC said, we're not going to renew this. So then Gene Roddenberry was at a baseball game telling a friend of his he wanted to do a show set in the 19th century about people of different races traveling around and to different areas every week, like Wagon Train. And the friend said, well, you know, I can't see the different races mixing together at that time. Maybe 300 years from now. So that innocuous comet supposedly, and you know, there's a bit of lore here, supposedly inspired Gene Roddenberry to go the other direction and go with the futuristic concept, which he called Wagon Train to the Stars, which eventually became known as Star Trek. And it was a very difficult show to get off the ground because you have all these different planets every week. It's going to be very, very expensive. But finally, it was Lucille Ball who decided to go ahead and use some money that she had, development money from CBS Television, to finance the pilot for Star Trek. And the pilot was much different from what we ended up with. I mean, you had, see, Gene Roddenberry had based Mr. Spock on the police chief of Los Angeles, Chief Parker, who was this very efficient officer, but also very sort of cold and taciturn. And the unemotional character that they had on the show originally was not Mr. Spock, but was Majel Barrett, who played Number One, the first officer. And she was sort of had the Mr. Spock personality. And Leonard Nimoy was playing the character of Mr. Spock with great emotion. And then the director told him, Leonard, you're a scientist. You know, you have to be detached. And that made Leonard Nimoy think about the character in a different way. Now the captain was originally Jeffrey Hunter, and Leonard Nimoy felt that Jeffrey Hunter was such a low-key actor that if he downplayed Mr. Spock, the scenes would just die. So he had to do it with some emotion. Well, of course, Jeffrey Hunter was replaced after the first episode by William Shatner. Now William, see Captain Kirk was described as sort of a cross between Horatio Hornblower and Hamlet, and Shatner had Shakespearean training, so that was good, and also you have, you know, these moments of indecision where you've got, you know, the emotional arguments being made by Dr. McCoy and the logical argument is being made by Mr. Spock, and Shatner has to decide. But anyway, Leonard Nimoy felt as soon as Shatner came in, he had so much energy that Leonard Nimoy could downplay Mr. Spock and play him in that laconic, less emotional way, and then Mr. Spock started to become the Mr. Spock that we know.
Yeah, no kidding. I could talk about this all night long. We're almost out of time, though. When did the show really, really take off?
After it was canceled, unfortunately, for the actors. I mean, you know, I tell a story in my book, Hollywood Stories, about Charlie Chaplin, that, you know, he was so famous, and yet that mustache was painted on, and he was barely recognized. He entered a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest, and he lost, but he was very, very rich. Well, you know what's the opposite of that is Walter Koenig, who played Mr. Chekhov. He was recognized wherever he went, but he couldn't pay for his groceries because the show was canceled and he had nothing going on. So I mean, that's what happened after 3 years. But what really made it take off was the moon landing, the Apollo 11. And as soon as that happened, that's when the show began to kill it in reruns, and the actors were not in a position to benefit directly from it, but luckily for them, they were able to indirectly benefit from it with the Star Trek conventions, which were phenomenal, and they started getting paid huge money for personal appearances.
Wrath of Khan, was that your favorite? You mentioned the last movie, but did you like that movie?
You know what? Wrath of Khan's now my second favorite. It was my favorite until this new one came out.
Yeah, me too. There's something about that. I mean, that was just a great movie. I've probably seen it maybe 20 times. Who knows how many times you've seen it, but.
And it was so unexpected because the first one was such a disappointment, I think, to a lot of people. So you think the franchise is dead, and then they come up with this second one, and I think Leonard Nimoy was very surprised because he thought, we're done. Oh, okay, I'll get killed. Wait a minute, this is fun. I don't want to get killed. So he got resurrected.
Yeah, you got to love that. Stephen Shohead, always fun to chat with you, author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie. See, he knows all this stuff. Pick up his book you love. You can get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
Thanks, Stephen. I guarantee that every single one of you has at least seen an episode or one of the movies, even if it was the one that just came out in 2009 that we were talking about, when it comes to Star Trek. And I said, you know, who's your favorite character? And I hate to say it, it's so cliche, but for me it's got to be Captain Kirk. I think he was my favorite. Stay with us. Coming up next, a way to get in shape. Every week we talk to pharmacist Ben. He's got more suggestions. Stay with us.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the Greatest Depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Energy, energy, and more energy. We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. And we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free when you call today. Don't decline. Declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better. Debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information.
For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call National Debt Relief today at 1-800-460-5733. 1-800-460-5733. This free information is available only for a limited time. Change your life. Call 1-800-460-5733 today.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. As always, you know, every single week we've been talking to pharmacist Ben, my buddy, who's helping me get it straight nutritionally. I've said this and I'll say it again. I never took vitamins. I never took minerals. None of that stuff. And maybe I'm really lucky that I'm healthy. Now I feel like I'm really getting healthy and helping out my metabolism. It's amazing the changes that I've seen with one of the things that I'm doing, taking Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Many of you have emailed me, asked me about it. And listen, I always say this up front. You go to AmericaTonightTeam.com, and there's just products, and you could get Beyond Tangy Tangerine for a song. I know, because I pay for it. I buy it myself. It's cheap and it works. That's the key thing. It's one of the most amazing things that I think I've ever done for myself. And I was definitely skeptical at first, wasn't I, pharmacist Ben?
You were a typical New York skeptic, actually.
I was, because I really, you hear all these things. Oh, go do this, do that. And they're so extreme and ridiculous.
I love skepticism. I hate blind trust. I hate blind faith. In pharmacy, we always hate when somebody comes up to the counter and doesn't look at their medicine before they buy it, or doesn't ask questions before they buy it. We always want people to be
skeptical, cynical, ask questions. You want to know everything you can know. So I appreciate a good skeptic, because then when it works, then you are like the best, you're the best testimonial there is, because you were skeptical and you actually didn't even believe it and you actually saw the result. That's what,
yeah,
a scientist
absolutely.
Is always skeptical. Scientists are always skeptical.
Absolutely. And I wasn't going to do it. And then I decided to do it. I decided, okay, well, I'm going to try this because I like the way it tastes. It's fine. I'll see what happens. And now I drag it around with me. So in other words, I put it in my water bottles. I was just away for the weekend. I did that when I was walking around. I had the Beyond Tangy Tangerine mixture and I wasn't starving. You know, I could smell the pretzels and all the crazy things
right,
the street vendors
right.
have in New York because I was in New York City. And you know, guys, the old Kate would have definitely done it. I would have definitely said, my gosh, I'm home. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to eat this. And I didn't.
That's why I like the Beyond Tangy Tangerine so much, because it's liquid. It goes to work really quickly. And here's one of the neatest things about nutrition. Of all the really neat things about nutrition, this is to me is the most interesting and the most positive. And that is that the more deficient you are, the faster you notice results. So that if you're really deficient and you start doing that Beyond Tangy Tangerine, within days you're starting to notice results. And that's why I really like people to use that one first. Before they use anything else, use the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, because if you're like a typical American and you're not, haven't been savvy to some of these ideas, and it's the first time you've heard them, when you start to take in that Beyond Tangy Tangerine, you will be a believer. You will be a believer. And from that point forward, it becomes much easier to start to incorporate some things into your life. Like what you're experiencing, how you said you could withstand those urges, it's going to only get more and more dramatic. Your ability to withstand the foods that you think you absolutely have to have, including ice cream, including French fries, the most fundamental foods, you'll be able to it won't be like you'll have to struggle or have to fight anything. You'll just be able to withstand the urges. And you know what, Kate? If your system is clean at the end of a year or 2 years, it's super clean. If you happen to have, if there's a piece of pizza there, and for whatever reason you want to have a piece of pizza, your body will be able to handle that much more effectively. So it's not going to be like you'll never see pizza again or you'll never see ice cream again. You don't have to be worried about that. Not that you're going to – very good possibility you may not want the ice cream. Let me tell you something. I used to eat a pint of Ben & Jerry's by myself, Kate. A pint of Ben & Jerry's.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Not Ben & Jerry's. Haagen-Dazs. I'm sorry. Haagen-Dazs Caramel. I would eat the whole damn pint. You know?
Oh.
And I'm telling you, I haven't had ice cream in 10 years. I don't even like the smell of ice cream. And that's, I've been supplementing pretty intensely for about 15, maybe 12, 13 years. And the last time I had ice cream was about 10 years ago. I don't even want it. Doesn't even occur to me. And when I see it, it's like I don't even like the smell of it. So you'll get to a point where you might not even like it. But if you did want some ice cream, or you did want a hamburger, God forbid, I hate those things, man. Or if you wanted, or if you wanted a piece of pizza, you would be able to, your body would be able to handle it much more effectively than it can handle it now.
Yeah, well, this is a good question to ask you for people listening and getting to know you here, and certainly in this audience for America Tonight. Well, obviously, you went into the pharmaceutical business and became a pharmacist, so I can see why you would want to be healthy and get minerals and all that kind of stuff in your system. But what else drove you to that? Was there something else that drove
about
you to get
food,
really healthy?
About nutrition?
Yeah.
I went to pharmacy school because I wanted to study food as drugs. And it never occurred to me that when you're in pharmacy school, you do some of that, but you don't really emphasize that. You emphasize drugs as drugs. And when I went to the dean and told him what I was up to, they gave you a little preliminary interview. He thought that was really funny, and he told me that we don't do that here. We just use drugs. By that time, I was already committed, so I just went ahead and did it. But I was always fascinated with food and nutrients as medicines. And in pharmacy school, we study, I don't know if I ever told you this, but in pharmacy school, we study the medicinal properties of vitamins and the medicinal properties of minerals, how they work as medicines. And we also study diseases as if they were nutritional deficiencies, diabetes, and eczema, psoriasis, and arthritis, all the nutritional deficiency components that cause diseases. So it was just kind of like a natural progression for me to really start to understand how to use nutrients and begin to use them in my life. But I didn't personally get into supplementing until I started to reach, you know, it wasn't middle age for me. It was my middle 30s is when I started to notice that I couldn't do those things. You and I talked about this, the wall. Did we ever talk about the wall?
Yeah, tell us about the wall.
The wall is when you're partying, you know, in your teens, in your 20s, you can go out and party, you go to work the next day, right, you're good, you go out and party
sure.
again, and you can party four times a week. I don't know if this is UK, but this was me, and a lot of my friends, and a lot of people I know, and you could do whatever, you know, you could smoke, you could drink, you could just party and go to work, and you're so skinny, you could eat anything you want to eat, and then all of a sudden, around age 28, you hit the wall, and most people don't adjust. And so what happens is you hit the wall at 28 and all of a sudden you can't party so much, but you're still partying. You're still doing it, but you can't do it as well. And
right.
you can't eat the same thing. I mean, you're still eating, but you shouldn't be eating. You start to get a little fat around the middle, and that's what happened to me. I hit the wall. I started to get fat around the middle. I couldn't party like I used to party, and all of a sudden the weight started to gain. You know, I was always the same weight, and then I get on a scale, I'm 5 pounds more, and I'm ignoring it, and 5 pounds more, I'm ignoring it. Pretty soon I'm 30 pounds more.
Oh.
Right? And
yeah.
So, and I know nutrition. I'm studying it. I knew this stuff hardcore. So I decided to really start to work with what I knew was true from a metabolic standpoint, from a biochemistry standpoint. All things I talk about, lowering your calories, getting nutritional supplements in, understanding your digestive system, and I lost almost 50 pounds altogether.
Wow.
And I feel great, and people don't guess that I'm 50 going on 51, and I know it works, and I've seen it work with other people as well, not just me, and it makes biochemical sense is the bottom line.
Yeah. So it's good that we talked about that the fact that you see those changes, because as you say this all the time, and for all those guys out there listening, trust me, I know with all my poker playing days, it's not about willpower. You say that. It's not about willpower.
Yeah. I hate willpower. Willpower makes it sound like it's a battle, and a battle's not good. We got plenty of battles out there. We don't need one inside our body, which is what willpower is, right?
Yeah.
It should be like fruit falling off a tree. You don't pick the fruit if the tree. Don't shake the tree if the fruit ain't ripe, right?
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
So let it happen. Let it happen on its own. Don't fight nature. If your brain is saying to you, go get this, you probably need it, and don't fight it. But reach a point of understanding your body, being savvy and hip to the language of your body, so that you can hit those hot buttons, you can hit those satiety buttons, and naturally just gravitate away. That doesn't look good to me. You know, and it just doesn't look good. That's how it should be.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. So let's end on this. For people, what's going to happen, and this is, I get this, when we said this last time, when people want something to eat, they want snacks, whatever, because you're not going to stop snacking if you just really want to reach for something. What do you do?
Awesome question. There's two strategies. Number one, a combination of veggies and oil and salt. And make sure you salt food with Celtic sea salt, with Himalayan salt, which are good mineral-rich salts. They're not just Morton's. Morton's is, you know, sodium chloride processed stuff, and it doesn't give you the nutrients you need. Celtic sea salt, Himalayan salt. Sprinkle it on veggies, and then oil, lots of oil. The secret is in the oil. We have hot buttons for oil, and we have hot buttons for salt. So you want to hit those. So you get yourself the oil and the salt, those essential ultimate EFAs, the essential fatty acids out of a bottle. Sprinkle them. Use coconut oil, people. Coconut oil is incredibly filling. Very tasty. Have you ever had coconut oil?
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Super tasty. Have nut butters, cashew butters. You're looking for oil to hit that oil hot button. You're looking to hit the salt hot button. They're nice together. And then protein. Very, very satisfying. Especially look for protein that has the amino acid tryptophan, because your brain will actually read tryptophan levels. So tryptophan is an appetite suppressant. When your brain sees tryptophan, it thinks you just killed a wildebeest. Remember our little model?
From
the African savannah?
Right.
So tryptophan tells your brain, hey, we just had a wildebeest. Turn the appetite center off. You have an appetite center in your brain.
Yeah.
And this is what you're hitting, the appetite center, the satiety center, actually. It's the opposite of the appetite center, but it's the same area. You know, it's a regulatory area that tells you to eat. These are all things that are regulated by the brain. And what you're really talking about here, Kate, is learning to take control of your biochemistry, learning to take control of your brain's chemistry. And to me, that's a powerful idea.
Yeah, no kidding. Pharmacist Ben, we're out of time. Thank you very much. We'll talk.